Good to see you. We appreciate your presence on a beautiful Lord's Day like today. It certainly is a privilege and a blessing to come together and worship God and seeing that there be no tears in heaven. There's going to be a lot on this earth, but there'll be no tears in heaven. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. We have some visitors tonight along with some long-suffering regulars, and we appreciate your coming and being with us. Anytime anyone has a question about the lesson or the Bible, my time is your time. I am retired. I don't do anything. And so if you like a job having me do nothing, sign up. But I don't know why I retired. I can't get done nothing. So I had to retire so I could get at it. I thought today that when I got home and I'd take my Bible, my marks out of my Bible this morning, can you imagine what that'd been if I tried to cover all those passages? But anyway, I took that out for this one. But there's a very interesting lesson that I want to preach tonight, at least to me, and I don't exactly know the answer to all of it. I know how the truth is on it, I think, but I don't know the answer. I call it preaching from the other side. I don't know why that God did give us some examples of preaching and teaching from the other side. And I've often wondered why that way is, because, of course, there is no way for one to change his condition over there. But the Bible plainly says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. So Enoch is bringing us a lesson from the other side. I've often wondered about the story that's contained in 1 Samuel 28. Of when Saul went to seek a familiar spirit, which is a fortune teller. And he found one. And Samuel was called up from the dead, and Samuel preached his last sermon on yonder side of the grave. I think I got a better idea on Luke 16, when Jesus, speaking to those people who trusted so much in riches, and told us the story of the rich man and Lazarus. It is not called a parable. It probably really happened. I would much more likely believe myself it really happened. He was talking about a real event. But he talks to one that's gone on, and that one rich man tells us some things that I think are interesting. We're going to look somewhat at that tonight as we look at these three instances of preaching beyond from the other side. And, of course, the first one being that of the story of Cain. It's an amazing story that when you stop to think about it, that the Bible says, by faith Cain offered a more excellent sacrifice than Abel, and he had the approval of God that he was righteous because he offered it by faith. Did God just arbitrarily decide that Cain sinned by offering the fruit of the field, and Abel was righteous because he offered a lamb, a sheep? Of course not. The Bible says by faith. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing. And they heard God, and God told them what to do. There's two great messages in this story. One is that you never know when you're going to die. Of all the people that didn't expect to die, I would think that Abel was one of them. He was on this earth, made in the image of God. He knew his mother and father, evidently much closer to God than we are today. He was in good health. He could well have expected to live into the hundreds of years old of that day and time. He had no idea that his brother might kill him. One thing we realize in this world is that life is a precious thing. and people can take it from you in a matter of seconds. You can lose it yourself in a matter of seconds. Another motorcycle rider died in Nashville this week. I just mentioned that to give you some pleasant news as we sit here among us. But anyway, we don't know. And the second lesson about this is that if you don't expect to die, then that might well be when you die. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die. And that's absolutely true. The Bible tells us that what is your life? It is but a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Typically, when I talk to people like that, they say, that old man, he's 76. He's got one foot in the grave and the other is on a banana peeling, and he's slipping that way. But you know, if you open up the death notices and read them, nobody does that much anymore. You don't read the paper much anymore. You'll find that there's a number of people in there in their 60s, and 70s, and 80s, and a few in their 90s. But there are also some babies often, and there are quite a few nearly every day of teenagers. There seem to be an age that we have more of than possibly the middle ages of people. So the living know that they shall die. And we ought to recognize that death comes when we least expect it. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. I sat there tonight trying to get the weather forecast for tomorrow. And I said, here I am, concerned about what the weather is going to be tomorrow, and I may not live to see it and enjoy it. Could well be that. And so that is the lesson of that. And the second one, in this story of Samuel, I want to read a little to you that, because it's a highly unusual story, and maybe one you haven't put much thought to. The Bible says, and the woman said to him, he had gone looking for a familiar spirit, a fortune teller. 1 Samuel 28, I'm with verse 9, if you're trying to find the place. Behold, and the woman said to him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off all them that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land that layest thou, wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die. And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Point number one. Saul was still swearing by the Lord, but he wasn't living according to the Lord. Lots of people swear by the Lord. That's about the only way they get into the Lord's business, and that is in a bad way. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring thee up? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, be not afraid. Well, that would be useless information if one of y'all call up a dead person now. Be not afraid. Just don't bother to tell me that. For what sawest thou? And the woman said to him, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up. Now I hope that don't mean that if I die at 95, I'll be resurrected at 95. I don't believe that proves that. And he is covered with a mantle. I never wore a mantle in my life. I don't choose to wear mantles. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. He was humble toward the prophet, but he hadn't acted that way in life. And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul said, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. At least Saul was worried because God did not answer him or give him answer his prayer. There are people that don't worry about their answers, God answering their prayer. Don't bother to answer prayer unless you unless you intend to obey 1 John 3:22. The Bible says, whatsoever we ask according to your will, hear of us. And the Bible says, because we keep his commandments and do always those things that are pleasing unto him. If you're not a Christian, if you're going to pray, you'd have to pray to the devil. Ye are of your father the devil. John 8:44, from the lips of Jesus. If a person is not a member of the Lord's church, he's in the devil's kingdom. The Bible very plainly teaches it. You preachers don't want to tell you sometimes. They're afraid to hurt your feelings. I don't mind hurting your feelings. I want you to go to heaven. God has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness. That's Satan's kingdom. And into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's the church. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Make no mistake about it. If you're not a Christian, your prayers will not get any further than this roof. I tell you that, but I want to make it plain. I had a friend, pretty good friend at times. I didn't trust him too much. But a denominational preacher came in to see him. He was on a sick bed. And the preacher said, the preacher said to him, could I offer a prayer for you? And he said, he always talked like this, but I don't talk like this. He said to that denominational preacher, said, you can pray if you want to, but it's not going to get any further than the ceiling. Well, he was telling the truth, if you understand the Bible. But that's kind of an unkind thing. Now, God would hear his prayer in the sense of hearing it. He would not hear it in the sense. Even the blind man knew that. For we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a doer of his will, him he heareth. The privilege of prayer is reserved to God's children. Our Father, which art in heaven. If you can't start off that way, don't bother to pray. Pray to somebody else. I don't want to get that in while the getting was good. And the Bible says, and then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and become thine enemy? Next lesson. When God leaves you, you've got a tough enemy. Now, I don't know how many enemies you've got in this world. I don't know that I've got a single enemy in this world. I may be shot full of holes before I get out the front door. But I don't know who might do it. Most of us have few enemies. And if we do have enemies, we don't have enemies that we have to fear so much. It's our brothers and sisters, and we can take care of them pretty well. But if God is your enemy, you have no hope of safety. God is able to do what he says he will do. And so he had become his enemy. And when you depart from God, God departs from you. And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me. For the Lord has rent the kingdom out of thy hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Just exactly like God took the kingdom away from Saul and gave it to David, God can take the kingdom away and will of every unfaithful member of the Lord's church. Now, how do I know that? Because I know the Bible fairly well. Matthew 13:42. And he shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom, that's the church, all them that do iniquity, and he shall burn them with fire unquenchable. The Lord will put out of his kingdom all those who are unfaithful. That's the reason I preach you must live a faithful life, asking God to forgive you daily for your sins and doing your best to serve him. It's not impossible, but it does require your best. And the Bible says, here is the reason. Now, why did God do this to Saul? Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. So he said, here is the exact reason. You would not do what God commanded you to do. That's the reason it scares me to death when I read Hebrews 10:25 and look at the attendance. It scares me. I'm not going to hell for missing the services. Make no mistake about it. As far as I know, I have never forsaken an assembly of the Lord's church in 76 years. And I say that not to brag, but to let you know I believe what I preach to you. And I live what I preach to you. And I hope I cause you to think a little bit along the line. It may discourage you, but it enlightens me and makes me feel better that I have done what God has told me to do. And the Bible says, then in verse 19, another great lesson from this, "Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow," now what's going to happen tomorrow? "Tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me." Tomorrow, you've got one more day, and you and your sons are going to be gone. Do you reckon that that came true? If you know the Bible very much, you certainly know that it came true. It certainly did. And so, there we have that. And now we go to the last one. In 16th chapter of the Gospel, if you don't know this story and don't read it once a week, I believe if every teenager would read Luke 16, 19 through 31, every week he would have a lot better chance. I've tried to read this every week of my life. Sometimes I read it more than that. Here's the way it's going to happen when you die. This is not fairy tales. This is not speculation. This is not false religious theories. This is not a fable. This is the absolute truth. This is what's going to happen when you die and when I die. The Bible says there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. That's the American people. That's one example of them. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which laid at his gate full of sores. To me, that's the lost souls in America that are covered with the sores of sin and laid at our gate, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. That's the scriptures that we let fall away all week because we are so plentiful with them. From the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And I will repeat here one thing that I learned from my brother. I told you this once. Hope you remember it and tell it. It's a true story. We had a dog one time, and my brother James named him Moreover. And I said to James one time, "Where in the world did you get the name Moreover?" He said, "I got that right out of the Bible." I said, "James, you're lying. There's no dog named Moreover in the Bible." So he turned to Scripture, and he read that, and he said, "Moreover, the dog came and licked his sore." I said, "That says Moreover, the dog." So I kind of got under him a little bit there, but that's what he said. But the teaching of it is that he was bad off. And it came to get past, the beggar died. He didn't have nothing in this world. He was sick. He was suffering. Somebody did bring him and lay him at the man's gate and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. When you draw your last breath, if you don't see some angels, brother, you're bad off. You're bad off. And I don't mean you go to heaven, because that's not what it says. He says he was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. And that's where the saved wait the judgment. It's not heaven. And Paul teaches this very plainly in the book of Philippians 1, 24 and 25. "I am in a strait betwixt the two, for I have a desire to depart and be with the Lord, which is far better." He said, I'd like to die and go be with Jesus. You do go be with Jesus, but you don't get your crown. "Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness," 1 Timothy 4:8, "which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day," the judgment day. But you do go and be with the Lord. Now you can't communicate with this life. And we're going to read about that, because there is the curtain has been drawn down. And the Bible says, "And the rich man also died." Is that a surprise? There's never been a man in this world that was rich enough to keep himself alive. There's never been a teenager in this world that was strong enough and healthy enough to keep him or her alive if God saw fit to call him home. You don't have a good enough health to do it. You may think you do. And the Bible says, "And the rich man was buried." We don't know that the Lazarus was buried. Might be the dogs ate him. "And in hell," and that's not the Greek word for the actual hell. That's Hades, the unseen world. There's only 12 times that the Greek word for hell is used in the Scriptures. Now, I can't get into that tonight. "And lifted up his eyes, being in torment." So when you die, you're not going to see angels. You're going to see the fire of torment, not the fire of hell. and he lifted up his eyes, and in torments, he was still alive. He didn't. You don't die when your body dies. You've got an immortal soul. You don't die when your body dies. And the Bible says, he saw Lazarus, and he cried, and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus. He may dip the tip of his tongue, finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But he could not so much as get a drop of water. Now, can God do that? He's going to do that. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted. Now he is comforted. And thou art tormented. Now, what about getting across this in this world? You can't cross over. Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. So they that would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Now, if anybody tells you he's communicating with the dead, he's lying. Anybody tells you that you can pass over after you've gone over, and that the church, Catholic Church, can pay your way out, they tell me that they was much concerned about John F. Kennedy, and reading his life after he's dead, I can understand why. But I did admire him very much when he was alive. And so, but they said it cost that family a fortune to get him out of purgatory. I don't know if it's true or not, but the Catholic Church, you look like me like I don't know what I'm talking about. The Catholic Church believe there are people that are more righteous than they need to be. And their righteousness go into a bank, the Catholic Church bank. And that's more righteous than they need to be saved. And if you'll pay them money, the priest can apply the righteousness of others to your life and get you out of torment. If you believe that, I got a farm in Texas I won't sell you. If you just talk to me afterwards about it. But anyway, I'm not going to say what I usually say about if you can believe that. But I'm trying to do much better. And the Bible says, and he said, I pray thee therefore, Father Abraham, that thou would send him to my father's house for our five brethren. Next lesson, too late to pray. I pray thee, Father. I doubt if you ever prayed in this life. I asked you the other day if you pray daily. This may be your last day on earth to get a chance to pray. Please, for my sake, pray before you close your eyes tonight. You need to pray. You need to read the Bible some too before you pray. But anyway, I pray, but it's too late. For our five brethren, thee may testify unto them, lest they come to this place of torment. Listen, right now is the only time you've got to change the ones you love. It's the only time you got, today. You can't do it afterwards. You may not be able to change them, because a lot of them won't listen to you. But if you're going to save your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your family, anybody else, it's going to have to be done now. When you get over there, it's not going to be done. God has no other plans. And Abraham said to them, they have Moses, the prophets, let them hear them. Well, Moses and the prophets had been dead 1,000 years, most of them, Moses more than that. How did they have them? Same way I got them. I got Moses. I've got Elijah. I've got Ezekiel. I got Daniel. Hadn't you? They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. How are they going to hear them? Can you read, my friend? If you've never heard them, it's because you never read them. And, of course, you hear it preached. If you come hear me preach, you're going to hear them. I don't preach nothing but the Bible, and I challenge anybody that I do. If I do, tell me. But I may carry on a little foolishness now and then, try to wake somebody up. My wife says do too much of it. But the Bible says preach the Word. I grew up from people preaching the Word. I'm going to die preaching the Word. That's the reason I like blackboard preaching. I just cover it up with scriptures and preach. I ain't got anything to tell anybody worth telling them. God is the one who's got the message. And so the Bible says that they are the most... But he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they repent or be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Get this point. If you won't be convinced by the written word of God, Moses and the prophets, there were New Testament prophets as well as Old Testament, then you wouldn't be convinced if God sent you somebody from the dead. and said, Melvin, you need to obey the gospel. You may die sometime. You would still say, I don't believe you. I'm not going to do it. Now, that's what God said. God said, if you wouldn't believe what I preached to you, that you need to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, it wouldn't make no difference if the Apostle Paul stood up here. You wouldn't believe it. That's what God said. You wouldn't be concerned about it. And we can either take it or leave it. And so that is the story. Now I'm going to tell you why I think that God gave us these three stories. And this is my opinion. I could not exactly prove this, but I believe it's more right than yours, or else I would accept your opinion. First of all, the story of Abel is contained in the Bible to let us know a lesson the religious world will not listen to. You cannot go to heaven if you don't worship God right. No way. We don't preach against instrumental music because we don't like it. We don't preach against the Lord's Supper on Saturday night because we don't like Saturday night. We don't preach, I could go on pie sales and schemes to raise money. We preach what the Bible says. We preach what the Bible says. And the story of this man shows that he worshiped right and God accepted his worship. And Cain worshiped wrong and lost his soul. You cannot go to heaven. I don't care how many experiences you have. God saved you under a shade tree or heard your prayer when you were falling out of a window. I don't care what you say. This teaches without a shadow of a doubt. If you worship wrong, you cannot be saved. Does your child know that? If you don't, it's your job to teach him. I won't get an opportunity to. Read it to him out of the Scriptures. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit, that is in sincerity, and in truth, that's the word of God. Sanctify through their word, that word is truth. Only way you're going to make it happen. Now that won't take it by yourself, but it does tell you the job set before us. And then in the story here of Samuel, what was the big lesson for Samuel? Yeah, I think it's a lesson the religious world doesn't understand today. More people will probably go to hell for not obeying the commandments of God than for all the worldly sins you can combine. Saul was lost because God told him to utterly destroy the Amalekites, and he halfway did the job. That's what this says. If you won't obey God, you can't go to heaven. How do I know that? Are you at least familiar with Hebrews 5:8-9? Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience through the things which he suffered. And he became the author of eternal salvation to all. Do I need to finish that verse? I most certainly do. To all who pray, To all who sing, To all who attend, To all who give to the poor, To all them that obey him. Someone said, you paint with a broad brush. Yes, I do. Revelation 22:14. How are you going to get to heaven? Blessed are those that keep his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and are in through the gates into the city. Somebody said, I'm going to heaven. Are you keeping the commandments, of God? Noah saved himself and his family. Three times in those two chapters, the Bible says, thus did Noah, according to all that commanded him, so did he. Now let me stop right there and just lay this out before you. Noah worked while the ark was preparing 100 years. Can you imagine building an ark 100 years? Can you imagine your wife saying, Noah, you're going back out there on that ark again today, this weather? 100 years. Thus did Noah. What would you do if God told you to build an ark big enough to handle all the animals, two of them, on this earth? Would you say, God, I can't do that? I'm glad I live under the New Testament. I certainly am. I want to be faithful. I think I can attend faithfully. I think I can pray. I think I can sing. I know you don't. I think I can give as I've been prospered. I think I can preach a little bit, and I think you can do all this too. I think we can help the sick and the poor, don't you? What has God given us to do that we can't do? We've got to fight against sin. We need His help all the way. But I'm telling you, we got a good deal. Any of y'all got a sheep under the bench there anywhere, or a calf? We want to come to worship. Wouldn't you hate to take a sheep? I can't hardly get my wife to worship. We're going to go to worship now. Get a hold of this animal and drag him in. And wouldn't you hate that to cut his throat? Blood everywhere. I'm just telling you, we got a good deal. When the New Testament Christians get to meet God, don't say, well, God, you know, I couldn't attend faithfully. I had to go to that ball game. Just had to. I couldn't attend faithfully. You know, my best show was coming on television. My friends came over. I'm trying to get myself to heaven, and I'm trying to get you. From whatever I said tonight, I don't want you to take the idea that I think I'm perfect. I sin every day and know it well. I tell you again what I tell you, ought you. Every night I say, God, forgive me of the sins I've committed. And I name ones I know about and the ones I don't know about. That's the ones I really worry about. And I pray for God to forgive me for the sins of not doing as well as I need to be doing and helping the sick and saving the lost. I want to go to heaven. I believe you do. You wouldn't be here. If you'll obey God, you can go with the blood of Jesus to carry you right through. God doesn't expect the impossible. He just expects the best that you have. This is the only time you need to be faithful. You may not live till tomorrow. If you can obey God this minute, the next minute you can be faithful. Perhaps the next hour, and tomorrow you can get up and go to work on it again. Be faithful to God. To live a faithful Christian life, that's what it takes. Jesus has given us the example. We're all going to die either like the rich man or like Lazarus. And we're going to wake up in the fire, or we're going to wake up in Abraham's bosom with Jesus. Prepared where you're going while together we stand and while we sing.